You're listening to Go Fish with Mike Buck on AM 690, The Fishing Answer. This segment is being brought to you by the Western Pacific Regional Fishery Management Council at WPCouncil.org.
Okay,
now,
so
troll on in.
Some of the things you heard last week with our friends Ed Watamura and Uncle Roy Morioka. We talked about bottom fishing. It was just part of the big meetings over there on the island of Maui for the 174th meeting of the big Western Pacific Regional Fishery Management Council. Everybody's back. And there were a lot more things discussed than just that. And it was particularly a neat opportunity for you guys and gals on Maui to show up at one of our fishers' forums to give us a recap of what went on throughout the meetings and at the forum. Here's fishery analyst Josh Jamello from the council. Everybody's back from Maui, I guess. Kind of hard to leave, when you go over there.
Oh, yeah. It's totally different. It's a different environment, different background when you're working off island.
Did we see some curious folks? Were you guys pleased with the number of fishers that showed up?
Oh, we got close to 200 people that showed up to the Maui Beach Hotel.
That's cool.
And a lot of them, if not most of them, are new to the council. And so since we've only held fishers forums in Honolulu and our other out island areas of Guam, American Samoa, and CNMI, it was good to see a new group of faces looking to learn and get involved.
You know, I've seen from the very beginning since we started doing the show, Josh, there's a lot of people on our neighbor islands that really feel like they're the tail wag getting bagged by the dog. They don't have any say. Were there people that were apprehensive about that, or did you find, and I would imagine you saw some pleasant surprise on some faces?
I think when we go out to these other island areas, a lot of the times it feels like, well, it seems like they feel like we're not there as often as we should be. So it was good to be able to talk to those folks face-to-face and see what the issues might be.
Well, and now obviously we talked a little bit about the bottom, and now we're talking last week while you guys were getting ready to meet on Maui, I hung out with Uncle Roy and Uncle Ed talking about how tough bottom fishing is and everything else. When the Fishers Forum, which was based around bottom fishery, what were some of the concerns that some people had, and how did they get addressed?
We mainly talked about the stock assessments first and how that work that was done by the fishermen contributed to the new stock assessment that just came out, and how that was translated into the new annual catch limit for the fishery. We also provided some history on the bottom fish fishery from the Maui Bottom Fish Cooperative, as well as a family of bottom fishers here on Oahu.
Were they surprised to talk about quantities and how few real serious bottom fishers still around?
Most of those guys there were bottom fish fishermen, and that's one of the primary reasons why we did it in Maui, was to provide that opportunity to the main bottom fish fishermen in Hawaii to have a chance to talk about it see what goes into the annual catch limit.
When you look at Maui County, which is Maui, Lanai, and Molokai, sort of in the middle there is that area which at one point in time was very important to the black coral industry. What about the bottom fishery? Is there fishing within that triangle between the islands, or is most of it off the North Shore or more on the Big Island side, or both?
I think it's all around. I mean, you have the calm areas in between those islands in the Maui Nui Triangle area. And then you have spots that are actually closed due to the bottom fish restricted fishing areas that are outside of Hana, and then the whole area around Kohololawe that the fishermen have told us were historically productive. Then you have guys that travel all the way to Penguin Bank or the north side of Molokai that bottom fish as well.
You know, it's kind of interesting because we learned a lot of things from both Roy and Ed last week. Bottom fishing is really a science. I mean, you can say, well, is it even fair anymore with all of the electronics? Having the electronics is nice, but some of these guys, they got old equipment, junk electronics, and they catch the most fish. It's the way you fish them, I think, that's important.
I think that's what I learned the most about
really,
bottom fishing in Maui is you look at these guys. These are all older guys. Mm-hmm. And even the gear they use, it's not top-of-the-line gear. It's it's stuff that's handmade by them in their shops or in their garage.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's interesting because even the young guys who are using fish finders and GPS and everything, they don't catch as much as the old guys because the old guys have know from the trial and error and observation over the many years.
One thing that I thought was interesting that we learned when you and I and Maloy Sabitzer got together was the new way of calculating the catch is based on soak time, not travel time and everything else. Did they get that? Did that come up at the forum when they do their reporting, how important it was to know just what the fishing time is, never mind the other stuff?
It didn't come up at the forum, but it did come up in discussions with fishermen, and we have been out to Maui in the past to talk about reporting correctly and reporting the time that the hook is actually in the water.
Yeah, because I know that some guys, when they say they're going bottom fishing, they troll too and they troll back. And, you know, and they catch fish when they troll. So they're wondering if that's part of the same. Well, it's obviously kind of not the same trip, is it? If you're specifically talking about bottom fish, it's, okay, never mind how long you got. When did you put your hooks in the water and how long did you leave them?
Right. And if you are doing trolling in between areas or in and out, you kind of want to note that you're trolling at that time, and it's a different catch per unit effort.
Yeah, especially when there's no birds and you catch them in the blind and say, what is this? It just so happens that when people are listening to this, they're also either fishing in or have fished in the Haleiwa Hanapa, which is going on right now as we speak. But interestingly enough, I still think that people have to know that there was a study done and that got unveiled at the meeting about bottom fish. Is there a probability or possibility that some of these closed areas are going to get opened again?
Well, that is the state of Hawaii's regulation, so it's really up to them. And we haven't seen any indications that it is going to happen. I know there's talk that they'd like to open at least some of them, but that's something for us to keep an eye on and see what the state is doing in the future.
You know, years and years ago, and I think we've talked about this before, up and down Front Street on the island of Maui, there were steakhouses that featured turtle. They had turtle soup, they had, you know, tempura turtle, they had turtle steaks. And I do know that there's still some pretty good turtle fishermen that are waiting for the day. Did that come up? Did anybody ask about, is anybody reassessing the assessment on turtles, and are we going to be able someday again to harvest some?
That did not come up.
Yeah.
I know that there are people who would like it to come up, but they're, right now it's really dependent on what happens to the environment and what the effect that climate change might play on these nesting turtles. Because the turtles, if they can't nest on the beaches that they currently nest on in the Northwest Hawaiian Islands, they'll have to find a place to go. And until it can be proven that they won't just drop their eggs in the water and never nest again, then I think the federal government is more hesitant to assume that they'll find land elsewhere.
Yeah, it's interesting that you say that, because talking to Asuka and others and many others, there is no guarantee that the turtles have a plan B. In other words, they're such creatures of habit, they'll go back to that island, and if the island is gone or changed, they'll just drop their eggs and swim away.
Right, but I think after millennia of turtles living on Earth, I think at some point they'll figure out that, you know, there's no land here, or maybe I'm in the wrong area, and they'll really want to find someplace else to lay their eggs.
I guess there'd be some science when we take a look at the salmon runs, right? When a salmon, a rookery or whatever, these things go uphill when there's no uphill to go. They have a plan B. You know, that's kind of amazing. I'm surprised that it didn't come up, because I remember a long time ago, there were a few families on Maui that were extremely good at catching turtle. And there was a huge, big demand for it. And I don't really think that it ever got really overfished. I think some other things came along and damaged them. But it seems, from all reports anyway, that the turtle stock is alive and well, and maybe even eating more stuff than it should be.
Oh, and it's not that it didn't come up. It's that the format of this forum was a lot different, and we really focused on bottom fish.
How did it go? Because I miss it. As you know, I sort of facilitate some of these forums. How was it? Was there a panel discussion and questions? What was the program like?
So the forum started off with information booths like we normally have.
Mm-hmm.
So the Coast Guard was there. Hawaii Fishing News was there. The National Marine Fisheries Service with their socioeconomics program was there, as well as the Maui Bottom Fish Cooperative and the state of Hawaii. And so after that, there were presentations that were done on the research of the bottom fish fishery. So it was socioeconomics. There's a Hawaii Bottom Fish Heritage Project with mm-hmm. Justin Hospital that was there on the show probably about a year ago.
Well, you know, actually, Josh, leading up to that, we did that very same thing. We did talk with Justin and a group, and realizing how valuable their science was going to this meeting. So it was presented again at that meeting for consideration. I think that it made a lot of people aware that there's a lot of people looking at all at the bottom fishery from all angles.
Right. And so this forum also had sort of a panel presentation, and it really looked at the fishermen that were fishing in the main Hawaiian Islands mm-hmm. and the Northwest Hawaiian Islands. So Bobby Gomes, who was a longtime bottom fish fisherman in the Northwest Hawaiian Islands, talked about his experience fishing up there as well as down here. And then we also had someone from Mama's Fish House who came and talked about how the bottom fish was important to their restaurant and how the fishermen have been intricate.
You know what's neat? What you say? What you say about Mama's is really interesting, because they have some favorite fishermen that they really rely on. And when they put the fish on the menu, it might be Chris's marlin or Bob's mai mai. It's pretty much you kind of know not just what kind of fish is it, but who caught it.
Right.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
And that's what they talked about, and how important the bottom fish and all fisheries in Maui is for the restaurants and the other businesses that serve seafood.
What's kind of interesting to me, and I'm sure this came up a little bit, is that we talk about how much of our fresh fish that we consume on Oahu is you know, furnished to us by Oahu fishermen. The number's very small in comparison to how much we bring in. But I would imagine, even bottom fisheries, that those restaurants and things on Maui and on the neighbor islands, period, they have certain fishermen that they kind of rely on, and therefore what they catch does go right from the bottom of the ocean onto a plate the same day in some cases.
Oh, pretty much, and really it's because they don't have the fish auction there, so they have to find a way to get the fish to the market, and that was one of the interesting parts about the Maui Bottom Fish Cooperative mm-hmm. is that when they started all those years ago. They really just got together because it was difficult for them to get their fish to the market, and it was getting frustrating with these different markets not accepting fish or giving them the runaround on prices.
Yeah, exactly.
They got together and formed a cooperative, so there's a one-stop shop to get your bottom fish.
You know, I can remember back in the days when I was more involved in the supply business, that there were igloo coolers. They would get full of bottom fish, mempachi, anywhere from mempachi reef fish to paka to onaga to all of that stuff. And it would get dragged around the tarmac of the airport. And after a few trips, the coolers got all broken up. And so they'd be leaking in the planes and all kinds of stuff. And then the fishermen got a bad price because sometimes the fish got hammered before it even got to the market. So that cooperative came and sort of leveled the playing field for a while. And it's interesting that it's still going.
Yeah, and these are all old-timers They talked to the Hawaii Bottom Fish Heritage Project, and hopefully soon you'll see those videos out online provided by the National Marine Fisheries Service.
Yeah, and by the way, it's always comforting to know that you can go to WPCouncil.org and chase some of these things down. I know a lot of the reports and some of the things that are just being finished up from the meetings, but pretty soon some of that stuff will be able to be of value online. Somebody asked me to ask you when the next Oahu meeting is.
Next Oahu meeting probably won't be until March.
Yeah, that's what I was going to think. Next March.
Right.
And what about in between now and then?
Well, we will have one in the Marianas. It'll be our 174th meeting. That'll be in Guam and Saipan in October.
Yeah, I'll be ready to do whatever to get to that one. That one's going to be good fun. But I think that maybe people are starting to understand a little bit. Some of the agencies, first of all, most agencies are represented. You mentioned Justin Hospital. He is with National Marine Fisheries?
Yes, the Pacific Island Fishery Science Center.
Yeah, and you know, they on a regular daily basis, they have interplay with everybody else. But didn't that sort of show everybody that, look, it's not just one group here, it's everybody. So we're going to share our information, so you better give us the good stuff.
But it's good to show that we're all working together, and not just us, but with the state of Hawaii there, and then folks from Hawaii Fishing News, and then you have Dean Sensui from Hawaii Goes Fishing, who's on our council, who's there, and you have all these other guys that they might know by name but never seen, and so
yeah, exactly.
I got to meet and talk with them. One of the interesting things, or one of the good things about this meeting in Maui, was the Assistant Administrator for Fisheries, Chris Oliver, who's the head of the National Marine Fisheries Service. He was at our council meeting, so he was also there at the Fishers Forum.
Yeah, that's really great, because I can tell you in the past, when you have these I call them listening posts, right? They come to these meetings from Washington, and they go back and say, okay, here's what we thought was going on, here's what we saw what was going on, and here's what the people there think about what's going on. And somewhere in the middle is what we got to act on.
Right, and for him, I think he liked it because he got to learn about the bottom fish fishery, and so we always talk about the longliners and the tuna fisheries and the pelagic fisheries that are being managed internationally, and then Hawaii's bottom fish fishery is really the biggest fishery after that, after the longline fishery.
You know, maybe you can explain that. When we talk about bottom fish gang, if you're from the mainland or somewhere else, this is what probably is called ground fish where you are. When we say bottom fish, at different depths and different levels of our seabeds are these fish. Most of them are snappers. And I would guess that when you take a look at the way these things line up, Josh, that they are the highest value fish. I mean, you know, seriously, some of these small ground fish or bottom fish are, you know, over $10 a pound all the time.
Right. And so we may have a low amount of catch, relatively low amount of catch. We're looking at around 300,000 pounds a year. But that value that those fish bring in is high. So we can't ignore this fishery and just say, oh, it's a money fishery that we don't need to pay attention.
Yeah, that's true. And Roy and Ed last week did tell us that everybody was very apprehensive about one of these assessments we're going to prove. But it seems like it proves that we can increase, and this is by, you can explain how this works, by rule rather than by law. We can increase these numbers based on what the anticipated survivability of the species is, right?
And so at this meeting, we actually got to take a look at the new stock assessment. And so what happened between the old stock assessment and the new stock assessment was that fishermen actually got to go out and help do the research, and they got to find out some of the life history of these snappers and groupers. And what they did was they caught the small ones, they caught the big ones, they provided it to the science center. Then they also did some fishing to see how they can measure how many fish they catch or the effort that's put into it. And they took all of that into account with the science center, and they did their stock assessment magic, and it came out with an improved stock assessment, basically.
Yeah, there you go.
One that's more reliable and has less bias and less things that we're guessing about.
I felt really relieved about that, and I know this audience will too, because everybody's always looking for the doom and the gloom. Whenever you have all of these officials get together, they think, oh, this is not going to work out well for us. But in actual fact, some of the guys say some of these places that are closed, in past history shows they were some of the most productive. So one would think if they've been closed, they must be full of fish now. Maybe it's time to go catch some.
Maybe it is. And the one thing to take with a grain of salt is that stock assessments are not factual evidence, because nobody's down there counting all the fish, and you can never do that. So
as
really
much as we try, it just doesn't work, right?
Yeah. Right. And so really what it does is estimate how many fish there are in the waters around Hawaii that we can honestly say this is how much it is, and if we take an X number of fish out, it'll affect the population.
Wow, that's a mighty. And you know what? It's interesting, because I see more and more people buying into the probability that the science guys are really kind of getting it right. And don't they attribute a lot of that to the knowledge and the way that they can look at these things, the GoPro cameras, the deans that these guys do? I mean, we're just getting better at what we do to look.
We are getting better, and a lot of it for at least for bottom fish has been because the fishermen have worked with the scientists to actually come up with the numbers that they need to come up with.
One of the other things that people learned last week, and I'm sure it came up, is that you might be an excellent paco fisherman, but you may not be a good onaga fisherman. When they say bottom fishing, it's not you catch every species on every drop. There are certain levels and certain depths and whatnot where these different fish congregate. And if you don't get the one that you're looking for, there's a little bycatch. You either get the ones that you're looking for or you go somewhere else.
Right.
That's pretty interesting.
Right. And so we're trying to look at now is are the effort put into the different methods the same, or should we be looking at them by individual species?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, in other words, instead of just saying the deep seven, what about here are our bottom fish species by species?
Right, and opakapako and onaga are the main drivers of that fishery. It's not as much in the gindai and the ehu, and those are caught as well, but the main ones are opakapaka and onaga.
Yeah, and I think maybe, especially at the time of the year when we know that you better have an onaga on your table. But and it seems like most of the good restaurants and the chefs, they prefer those two fish, not only because they're colorful, but because they're tasty.
And they probably have something to do with the ways that they can prepare it as well.
Yeah, I've seen some great stuff going on lately. So what the takeaway, and you can speak on behalf of others on the council, because you guys all worked, you guys and gals, all worked so hard to get this thing off. I'm hoping that it was a worthwhile trip to Maui, and that someday you can go to the Big Island, someday you can go to Kauai.
We hope to do that, hopefully in the near future if we can and the funds allow. And I think having Administrator Oliver there to witness what we experience, and he can provide funding in the future for that as well. I think this council meeting went really well, and there's some good things that came out of it, including the council taking final action on the ecosystem components, which will look at putting some parts of our management new species into an ecosystem component category where they will be monitored, but there won't be the need for things like annual catch limits because they are not commonly caught in the federal waters.
There you go. That's really important. Then there's one or two other real quick ones, and that is, obviously, at the conclusion of one of these meetings, you try to walk away with a takeaway. One thing that everybody's got to realize that right now as we speak is an election year. I mean, it's a midterm elections, but we got our congressional seat, our Senate seat. We've got the governorship. We've got a bunch of other really important elections coming up, all of which have something to do with the fishery. Like, whoever the new governor is going to be, is it going to be David Ige? Is it going to be Colleen Hanabusa? Who's it going to be? And what do they think about the fishery? We got to keep an eye out and ear to the ground for this stuff, right?
Right, and there's even legislation going on nationally that will affect the fishery, and politics comes into play there. Next week we'll have the House Bill 200 introduced by Congressman Young that we talked about in a previous show. That's going to be heard on the floor next week.
You always see when you read about these things pertaining to. What would you say that our audience could relate to what that bill pertains to?
That bill pertains to the reauthorization of the Magnuson-Stevens Fishery Conservation
Which,
and
which comes
Act.
Up for review about what, every 10 years?
Every 10 years. Yeah. So we're a little late this year, but...
That's Hawaiian time, we can say.
Right. And so that will be heard, and there's some things in there that will change the way we have to manage fisheries. So those are good things to keep in mind.
We'll do that. And so starting next week, we're going to get back to some of the individuals. I'm dying to hear that some of the others, what they thought of that trip to Maui. Sounds to me like it's worthwhile. We should go back there again, right?
We should go there every time.
Thanks, Josh. Okay. If there's something you want to hear on the program, you know what to do. Go to wpcouncil.org and trail around over there. Or call us up. I don't say call us up. Send me an email. themikebuckshow@gmail.com. Happy the first weekend of summer, everybody. Congratulations, everybody, all the winners in the Ahi Shootout, spinners, and all of you that are fishing in the Hale'i Wahana Pod this weekend. Hope you catch a lot of fish and have a good time. We'll see you next time on Go Fish. Aloha.